Amen. Let it breathe on me. What a wonderful day to worship our King this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Please ensure that all cell phones are turned to silent before we begin. Let us hear those beautiful voices this morning as we start with our call to worship taken from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I asked of the Lord, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Come, my heart says, seek the face of the Lord. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Let us worship God. Let us continue with our prayer of praise and adoration together. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. We rejoice now before you as the yoke of our burden and the bar across our shoulders you have broken as on the day of Midian. As those numbered to walk in the light of the Christ who names us in our baptism and washes us with the waters of new life, we gather now in his name to give you all praise and glory. Please stand for our processional hymn, O Worship the King, number 476.
Seated.
Let us continue with our prayer of confession in unison. If we claim to have fellowship with Christ, yet walk in darkness, we are liars. If we claim to possess the light, but hide it under a bushel, of what use is such wisdom to the world? If we rest secure in our abundance, while all about us others go hungry and their lives are imperiled, what has come of our call to share the good news? You know our inmost selves, O God. We cannot hide from you. Forgive our betrayal of your Son and restore us to fellowship with him. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows the Christ will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He has come to light as light into our world, so that whoever believes in him may not remain in darkness. Come now to that light. Come, for in him we are restored and forgiven. In him we have reason for thanks. Amen. Amen. Glory be to the Father.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost,
as it was
in the beginning,
it ever shall be, world without end. Amen. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated.
Elder, Sunday school today. It's now a time during our service where we dismiss our children to Sunday school. So all children, follow your teachers to the Sunday school room, singing, Jesus Loves the Little Children. Time of announcements. If you have a prayer card, please begin filling those out clearly, and we'll have the ushers collect those momentarily. If you look at the parish press, you'll see today after worship service, please hang around. We have our annual financial congregation and corporation meeting, and your attendance is very important. We have refreshments, so again, today after worship service, we'll have our annual financial, congregational, and corporation meeting, and your attendance is required. Tomorrow at 4 p.m., the nominating committee meeting is scheduled. On the 28th at 6 p.m., the Photo Club Winter Spring Session number 2. If you're interested in joining the Photo Club, Jim Collier is present today. You can pull him aside after service, and he'll give you all of the details about joining the Photo Club. On February 8th at 10 a.m., House and Grounds Committee meeting. On Sunday, February 9th at 7 p.m., Heather Bennett's music recital will take place here at our church. On February 11th, the deacons will meet at 7 p.m. On the 13th at 7 p.m., worship and music meeting. And on February 19th, at 7:30 p.m. Session will meet. Please be reminded that your financial statements and your offering envelopes are in the parlor. If you haven't collected those yet, please do so. If you find anyone's names that you may know, a neighbor of yours that's there and they have failed to collect it, please do so for them and drop it off. We would appreciate that. Also, there's an announcement here, the Friends of Teaneck Community Charter School. President Kevin Turner, a friend of ours, invites you to the ribbon cutting ceremony for the new gymnasium and creative arts suite of the Teaneck Community Charter School. That is on January 30th at 6 p.m. You can RSVP by the email address that's provided there in the bulletin. You can also jazz in the spirit on February 2nd, right before the Super Bowl. You can get the music in your system before you watch some football. That is on February 2nd at 4:30 p.m. at St. Mark's Episcopal Church on Chadwick Road in Teaneck. I would also like to mention the Worship and Music Committee wants to remind everyone that we have worship sign-up sheets in the parlor. We ask for your participation in serving on Sundays. That is our motto, serving on Sundays. So please, if you are able, we are looking for those who are willing to serve as ushers, greeters, liturgists. We would appreciate your participation.
And we also need to remind people about our Super Bowl of Caring, the canned goods. I don't see anything here, but we have signs all around. But please bring canned goods for the Super Bowl of Caring. The deacons ask you to bring that. The contributions will be given to the Loaves and Fishes feeding program. So you can go to ShopRite, stop and shop, and go to the center aisle where they have these little big, you know, whatever, deals, 10 for a dollar.
That's right.
10 for $10 and get some candy.
That's right.
And bring them on.
That's right. Or you can stop by a neighbor's house and get them involved. Ask them to donate cans of soups and bring those in. So again, that is the final day to collect that is on Super Bowl Sunday. That's February 2nd. That is an ongoing deacon's mission. So we want to support them with that. That is the Super Bowl of Caring, collecting food for Loaves and Fishes. Do we have any prayer cards? Would you please hold those up so the deacons can see them and collect them? Do we have any visitors here today? Any visitors? We would like to recognize you. Any visitors? All right, so if we're all friends and family, let's have a brief time of friendship, please.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Our first scripture lesson starts in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, found on page 606 in your pew Bibles. But there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in the darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, thou hast broken as on the day of Midian. Our next scripture reading is found in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 23, found on page 3 of your pew Bibles. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali toward the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from where he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left and the boat and their father left they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every infirmity among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The time of Jesus' public ministry is upon us. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus states, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." So, no longer is the kingdom just near. The kingdom is here and now. I wonder sometimes if we modern people, with all of our technology and distractions, our comforts and our connections, our 24-hour news cycle and our on-demand everything, I wonder if we ever consider that Jesus is in our midst, even as he sits on the right hand of God. Are we aware that the Holy and Divine One is right in front of us and that our allegiance to Christ requires something of us? Who do we think really rules our lives and our world? What forces guide our actions? Is it some earthly power or person or force? Jesus says otherwise. As we first look at the passage of comfort from the prophet Isaiah, we have to think about how that passage relates to today's news of states and communities voting to ban refugees from resettling in their area. We hear the reports of parents not only being separated from their children, but also of them sending young children alone across the border to seek asylum because the conditions in the camps are so horrific and unsafe. The anguished words of some parents make you wonder if the kingdom of God is at hand or not. NPR reported in November on one family. Alexis Martinez, a Honduran man who traveled with his two young sons to seek asylum in the United States, last saw them holding hands, their faces streaked with tears, bravely walking across the Gateway International Bridge into Texas, alone. After weeks in a makeshift refugee camp in the Mexican border town of Matamoros, Martinez knew he had to send 5-year-old Benjamin and 7-year-old Osio on without him. Benjamin had contracted bronchial pneumonia, and Martinez couldn't afford any more antibiotics. They were sleeping on the ground in the cold. These tents are not good for children because the cold gets right through them, Martinez said. Sometimes you do things not because you're a bad father, but because you want what's good for them and you don't want to see them suffer. So he sent his two sons, 5 and 7, alone into Texas. Where is the rule and reign, the comfort and provision of the kingdom of God at hand for Alexis and Benjamin and Osio? While I know God is with these parents and children and Jesus, if we take his admonition in Matthew 25 seriously, is with them, but how exactly is their gloom gone, their joy increased, their darkness so no more? If the kingdom of God is at hand, why do so many vulnerable people suffer under those with earthly power? And we have to add, under those with earthly power, because they don't just suffer because it's God's will for them. They suffer because of human intervention. Then we look at the passage in Matthew. Jesus uses the kingdom of God is at hand as a rationale for those he called to get up right then and follow him. So it's not only a state to be enjoyed, the kingdom of God, but it's a motivation for action. Do we really want the kingdom of God to be at hand, to be so close that Jesus upends our expectations, invites us to leave all we know, causes us to follow wherever he goes, and utterly transforms our priorities, our purpose, our talents, our resources, and our skills? Do we really want that? You see, it's easy to gloss over the call stories of the first disciples. We've heard these stories before. But we are not fishermen, and our lives are radically different than those of Simon, Andrew, James, and John. What would it even mean for us to leave our nets and be fishers of people? Yes, yes, something about Jesus calls these folks to jump up and go. And that's commendable. But what really does this narrative have to do with us? At once they left their nets and followed him. After John the Baptist's arrest, Jesus set out to organize a few good team members, a few good disciples who would catch his vision and commit themselves to spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. So he headed to the synagogue to find the most learned scholars in Capernaum. Right? Nope. That's not what our passage says. Instead, Jesus takes a walk around the Sea of Galilee and sees a couple of fishermen, brothers named Simon Peter and Andrew. And he calls out to these brothers and says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And our Bible passage tells us that at once they left their nets and followed him. At once they left their nets and what? Followed him. That reminds me of something I read. Fans of the Green Bay Packers football teams are considered some of the most rabidly loyal and enthusiastic fans in any sport. In 2012, the Packers were supposed to play the New York Giants for the NFC Championship. A huge snowstorm came through Green Bay and covered the playing field, and game officials considered postponing the game. But Green Bay officials put out a call asking for help to clear the field. They offered to pay folks $10 an hour to shovel snow off of Lambeau Field. They needed around 400 people to do the job. 1,250 people showed up with shovels. Needless to say, they had no trouble clearing the field that day. Most leaders of any organization would get down on their knees and thank God if they could get a few loyal, enthusiastic volunteers to work alongside them, much less 1,250. That's especially true for the church. As we have often reminded you before, the real church is not the building. The real church is the people. Without you, there is no church. We depend on loyal, enthusiastic volunteers to accomplish everything that is done in Christ's name. I was talking to a colleague yesterday, and she was bemoaning the fact that not only were they having a problem getting someone to serve in a specific task at her church, but the nominating committee couldn't get anyone to accept nomination as an elder. "Come follow me," Jesus said to Simon Peter and Andrew, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And our Bible passage reads, "At once they left their nets and followed him." And Jesus walked on a little further and saw two more brothers, James and John, with their father Zebedee. They were mending their nets, preparing for a long day of fishing too. And when Jesus called to them, they immediately left their nets and their boat and their father and followed Jesus too. Now that's loyalty. And that's enthusiasm. When you immediately leave behind everything to follow Jesus' call. Arthur Allen Cross said in an interview, "I hear people justify almost any action that they take by saying, 'I have to think first about what is best for me and my family.'" That's often a discussion stopper. Cross continues, "But what if we are called to think first about what God wants and how he might use us for his glory? What if we're called to think about what God wants first rather than to think about me and mine? Once we hear God and God's calling, we have to make a decision. Will we ignore the call to discipleship or will we give ourselves in completely in obedience to God's work?" In our New Testament passage, there's a lesson to be learned. The first thing it teaches us, if you want to be a part of the kingdom, you got to get up and go where God calls you. Inaction, when God calls, equals idolatry. Inaction when God calls is proof that you value something else more, that you worship something else more, that you prioritize your own comfort or status or safety more than you value serving the God who created you for his glory. All throughout the Bible, you see, God uses the people who get up and go where he leads. Abraham, Moses, Esther, Rahab, Jonah, and the disciples, Paul, all of them had to head out into unknown territory, confronting unknown challenges in order to do God's work. These first disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter, James, and John, weren't sitting around watching paint dry when Jesus found them. They were busy. They had jobs to do and families to feed and plans for their weekend. They weren't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for them. But they saw something in him, in his message and character and vision, that led them to say yes immediately and get up and go. Andrew, Simon Peter, James, and John got up and followed Jesus because they saw God in him. And they wanted to know how God could use them in his glory. That happens to people sometimes. Napoleon Kaufman was a running back since we're near Super Bowl Sunday. We've got a lot of football examples here, you understand. Amen. Napoleon Kaufman was a running back with the Oakland Raiders. He had just signed a 2-year, $6 million contract. He had success, respect, money, but he felt dissatisfied and empty. But then something special happened that changed his life. He was at a training camp, horsing around with his friends, cursing, acting like one of the guys, or like one of my southern friends would say, cutting the food. He was, just kind of acting up. When a teammate came up to him and said, "Hey, Napoleon, you don't really look like the type of guy that would be out here acting like this. Man, don't you know that God can use your life?" Can you imagine someone out of the clear blue saying that to not only an NFL running back, but saying it to you? Don't you know that God can use your life? Stop and think about that for a moment. Imagine Jesus walking into the place, your place of business tomorrow, into your kitchen, wherever it is that you start your day, and saying, "Anthony, Kathy, Miriam, Ed, Dorothy, Blanche, Blaine, Vermin, Melvin, God can use you in a special way. What are you doing? Don't you know that God can use your life?" What excuses would come to your mind? What objections, what fears? These are all idols, things that we value more than we value knowing and serving God. What could God do with our lives if we follow him unreservedly in spite of our fears? When Napoleon Kaufman, this NFL running back, got back to his hotel room, he got down on his knees and prayed and asked God to change his life. He began studying his Bible and trying to see God and God's will for him more clearly. And he realized that God was calling him to get up and go, to leave his successful football career to become a pastor. He first served as the team's chaplain. And they say he would baptize players in the swimming pool at the training camps. Then finally, as Napoleon says, "I walked away from the game to serve God and to serve people without any regrets." He's still pastoring today. That's remarkable. If you want to experience the kingdom of God, you got to get up and go where God calls you. Then if you want to experience the kingdom of God, you got to focus more on the opportunity you have to serve God as opposed to yourself. This isn't easy. It's not an easy thing to do. We're taught to make ourselves what? Number one. To wrap ourselves up in a web or net of me first and me only. But we are called to focus on more than self by God. In order to do God's work and live in God's will, we are called to focus on more. You see, the world's vision for you is not God's vision for you. The values that are important to this world are not the values of the kingdom of God. Read through the Bible or through any biography of a great leader of God, and you'll see that they viewed every moment of their lives as a God opportunity. God opportunity. They viewed every moment of their lives as a God opportunity. What do you mean by God opportunity? It means an opportunity to glorify God. Every blessing was an opportunity to serve and glorify God, but so then was every headache. Freedom provided an opportunity to serve and glorify God, but so did imprisonment. Good health and wealth provided opportunities to serve God, but so did weakness and sickness and beatings and starvation and poverty. Wins were an opportunity to serve and glorify God, and so were losses. Amen. You see, we only feel that God is in those positive moments. We only want to give thanks for the positive moments, but sometimes we have to give thanks for those negative moments, because sometimes in the negative moments, that's when we learn more.
Amen.
It's sometimes in the losses that we can experience how God really works in our lives.
Amen.
God opportunities. Let me tell you about a woman named Maria Agnasi. Maria was born in Milan, Italy, in the year 1718. Her family discovered quickly that she was a genius. By age 11, she was fluent in Italian, French, Latin, German, Greek, Hebrew, and Spanish by the age of 11. By age 14, she was doing advanced mathematics. And she accomplished this in spite of raising and educating her 19 brothers and sisters after her mother's death. In 1748, Maria became the first woman to write a mathematics textbook with two volumes titled The Basic Principles of Analysis. It was one of the first textbooks to teach calculus. Pope Benedict XIV appointed Maria Agnasi as the first woman to teach mathematics at a major university. But she turned down the honor so that she could focus on her true calling, which was advocating for women's education and serving the poor. She founded a hospital in Italy. Maria Agnasi could have been one of the most esteemed women of her time. But she chose to live out the rest of her life in service to the needy. She once wrote, "Man always expects to achieve goals. The goal of the Christian is the glory of God. I hope my studies have brought glory to God. Now I have found better ways and means to serve God and to be useful to others." Maria Agnasi left behind success and honors and a comfortable life to glorify God and to serve others. Did she find joy in her decision? Yes, she did. Indescribable joy, because she focused more on the opportunity to serve God and those who needed her than on the life that she could have had. But there's one more thing to be said. There's one more lesson that we can learn from the gospel reading. If we want to see Jesus, if we want to see God, if we want to experience the kingdom of God that is right here and now, you can experience that kingdom of God in your service to others. You can experience the kingdom of God. You can find our Lord where? Somewhere serving others. Look at what Jesus was offering his new disciples. He didn't say, "Come, follow me, and I will make you more successful or happier or wealthier." He didn't say, "Come, follow me, and we will challenge the power of Rome or restore the nation of Israel." He didn't even say, "Come, follow me, and you will do miracles and receive supernatural powers and attract huge crowds." No, Jesus simply said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." So from the very beginning, Jesus' call was to serve others and to draw them into the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom of God. At 28 years old, Scott Harrison looked like he had it all. He was a successful nightclub promoter who got paid big money to organize parties that attracted wealthy young people and celebrities to New York City nightclubs. He spent his nights partying, drinking, and gambling, and his days sleeping. While partying on vacation in Uruguay, Scott suddenly realized that the money and parties and social status weren't making him happy. He had recently begun reading the Bible and studying the theology books. He said, "I was trying to find a way back. I'd grown up with a Christian faith that I'd completely walked away from." So Scott made a promise that night that he would change his life. When he got back from vacation, Scott Harrison quit his job and began applying to work with humanitarian organizations like Oxfam and the Peace Corps. But they all turned him down because they couldn't figure out how his skills as a nightclub promoter and party organizer could be used to help people. Finally, Scott got accepted to work with an organization called Mercy Ships. Mercy Ships is a nonprofit organization that sets up hospitals on old cruise ships and sends them to the poorest parts of the world. Scott was put on a ship to Liberia and was given the job of photographing the work of the Mercy Ship doctors. He took before and after pictures of patients with tumors, leprosy, cleft palates. Scott was so inspired by the work of these doctors that he wanted to share it with someone. He kept his old email list of clients from his nightclub promoting days, and on a whim, he emailed pictures of the Mercy Ship's mission to his old clients. Soon afterwards, Mercy Ship began receiving donations from some of the most unlikely people on earth. The wealthy nightclub partiers who used to be Scott's best clients, and suddenly Scott knew exactly how God could use a former nightclub promoter to do his work. He returned to New York and organized a huge party. He got his old clients to donate the venue and the refreshments, and he charged $20 per ticket to attend. He raised thousands of dollars that night and gave every penny to Mercy Ships. But then God gave Scott Harrison an even larger vision for building the kingdom. While in Liberia, Scott learned that 2.1 billion people around the world don't have access to clean drinking water. And so he created Charity: Water, a nonprofit that has funded 30,000 water projects in 26 countries and provided clean drinking water to over 8 million people. 100% of the public drinking of the donations made to Charity Water go to fund water projects around the world. Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. That's what Jesus promised his new disciples. And they left everything and followed him. Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. That's what Jesus promises us as well. What's standing between you and saying yes to God? What's standing between where you are right now and where God wants you to be? Is there something you could be doing for God in this church or in this community? You don't have to go to some faraway land. It doesn't require that you be as spectacular as Scott Harrison's ministry. God uses small gifts just as surely as he does large ones. The best way to experience God's kingdom in 2020 is to ask him to give you a new vision of a way that you can serve. How is the kingdom of God at hand here and now? Do we really want God's mighty hand to reign supremely and exclusively in our world? What effects does Jesus' call have on us? Will it cause us to radically redirect our lives and change the world all around us? If we aren't willing to respond to his call to the kingdom of God, then it doesn't matter that the kingdom of God is at hand. Again, the kingdom is at hand means that it is near or close. It does not suggest distance in either space or time. The kingdom of God is not a place or a time in the future or in eternity. The kingdom of God is a relationship that can be entered into whenever we accept Christ's call. Jesus is announcing that the kingdom can be entered by each of us immediately if we are in relationship with him. God's light will shine. The darkness will be lifted. Jesus and his followers will preach and teach and heal. The rule of God cannot be stopped. However, if we are not responding to Jesus in our midst right now, if we are consumed with lesser gods, if we are expending our energy on infighting, on tearing people down rather than building people up, if we are focused on winning petty arguments or increasing our own power and our own control, if we live life thinking that we are entitled, then the kingdom of God will feel far off to us and to those most in need of its immediate, unquestionable presence. Following Jesus and fishing for people requires the freedom that comes from repentance and letting go. Letting go of our cherished nets of me first and me only. Letting go of our nets of greed and our nets of exclusion, our nets of prejudice, our nets of arrogance, our nets of all those things that wrap us up and tie us up and hold us down. Come follow me and I will send you out to fish, says Jesus. And our Bible passage reads, what? At once they left their nets and followed him. What will you do? Our invitational hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus. Let the people of God say,
amen.
The words are written in your bulletin, but you don't need them. It's kind of repetitious. Once you get the first couple of lines, you can do it. So lift up your heads and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I am to follow Jesus.
No.
Turn your attention to our prayer list. You will note that we've added to our prayer list Patricia Cheney. Dr. Arthur Cheney is already on our list, and we understand that Mrs. Cheney is experiencing some health issues. Audrey Joseph and Yvonne Joseph have returned from their travels, but both are somewhat immobile at this point, and so we've placed them on our prayer list. You also understand Mrs. Hendricks has some health issues that we will place her on our prayer list as well, Mary Ann Hendricks. And little Trenton has a friend, Nathias Ben, who is battling an unknown autoimmune disease. And so we would place infant Nathias Ben on our prayer list this morning, as well as we continue our prayers for Amma Apia, Letitia, as she continues her treatment. We pray for her complete recovery. We also place on our list this morning in our prayers Kofi Boachi, who had a complete tear of his left Achilles tendon and will undergo surgery on Tuesday. So we place Kofi on our prayer list. I know that's a completely painful experience, and so we would keep him in our prayers as he prepares for surgery on Tuesday. Mary and Greg White had asked that you would include in your prayers this morning her daughter, Renee, who lives in Boston, who was just diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Ed Miller calls to our attention that one of our fellow Presbyterians, Elder Jonathan Phillips of Leonia Presbyterian Church, recently lost his father to cancer. His father was a longtime pastor of a small church in upstate New York. And so we would place on our list our prayers this morning, Brother Elder Jonathan Phillips of Leonia Presbyterian Church. As well as we keep in our prayers our entire world, our entire community at Anderson reminds us of the fact that we need to be praying for peace and justice. As we've watched, I guess you have watched the trials or this week. For some reason, I just can't. I can't watch it. It's too much posturing, too much politicizing, too much dishonesty, too much stuff. Just, you know, everybody's just trying to do, I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, if I see it on, I switch off to something else. It's like, I know where they're going, know what they're going to say. And by the time everybody gets through politicizing stuff, you know, where's the concern for people?
Resolution.
Rather than resolution, where's concern for people as opposed to just the political parties? So, but yeah, we need to still keep our politicians in our prayers this morning. I'm not going to dismiss them because God does work miracles.
Yes.
God hears prayers, and so God can address that too. But we say, Lord, you got your work cut out for you. Let us, as the people of God, join together in prayer. God of the covenant, your people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwell in the night of their lives, a new day is dawning. For the long-awaited Christ, whom you promised, has entered the world to light our way. The radiance of your glory cannot be hidden from our eyes. When we seek to live in the shadows of doubt, you reveal the folly of our ways. If the darkness of gloom overtakes us, Lord, you dazzle us with the luster of your kingdom. Our flickering faith is matched with the brilliance of your plan for creation. We bow before you this day, bathe in the light of your love, and set aglow with the gift of your grace. In your light, may we see light, O Lord, and so lead others to greater clarity of vision. Where perceptions are distorted through mistrust of Christ's message, may our lives make clear what he taught. When others are captive to seeing things only one way, to seeing things in a biased fashion, Lord, we pray that our openness will provide them a choice. If because of our silence, others know not what we think, Lord, give us the courage of conviction and a willingness to express our faith. When leaders make decisions with which we do not agree, make us bold in expressing and being of a reconciling spirit. Deliver us from pretension, O Lord. Deliver us from acting like we hold all the truth. Open our eyes to what others may reveal. Keep us tuned in to the diversity of voices in the church, to the diversity of voices in our community, to the diversity of voices in our world. Help us to realize that all of God's children have something to offer to this world. As that diversity around us reflect upon your message in varied tones and accents, Lord, help us to appreciate others for who they are and for ways that they may help us to know you better. Grant, Lord, that we become concerned with building up rather than tearing down. Concerned with building up bridges, building up connections, building up unity, as opposed to finding stumbling blocks and walls and tearing down relations. Lift our horizon so that we may see the full scope of your covenant love, O Lord. Let us dare to be astonished by the grandeur of your providence and grace. Help us to know that through your grace, O Lord, we may find that reconciliation with others that we need. We may find the connection to the Holy Spirit that we need in order to give us courage to face each day. That we may find that healing that comes physically, emotionally, and mentally. Lord, let us dare to be astonished by the grandeur of the grace that you provide us, so that we may continue to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, so that we may continue to be in touch with the kingdom of God. This is our prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Kingdom come, thy will be done, hallowed be thy name.
Thine earth
as it is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give our letters, hallowed be thy name. Yes, forgive us all our debts, hallowed be thy name. As we forgive our debtors, hallowed be thy name. Lead us not into temptation, hallowed be thy name. But deliver us from evil, hallowed be thy name. For thine is the kingdom,
power and glory, hallowed be thy name, forever and ever, amen, hallowed be thy name.
As we prepare for the close of this time of worship, we again remind you we do have fellowship time, and we invite you to share in the fellowship, and then we have some seats up for you to remain for our congregational meeting. For those of you who did not get a handbook last week, please pick up a handbook there in the back. Please pick up a handbook for the congregational meeting. And again, we remind you that this is confidential information for the corporation, for the members. So please make sure that you, you know, when you leave, take it with you. Don't throw it down someplace and leave it over. We have a number of groups in the building. Our information should remain confidential. Let us then prepare for the close of this time of worship with the singing of the hymn number 442. The church is one foundation. Is who? Jesus Christ our Lord.
Water. Thank you.